All right, we're going to call the meeting to order. It's the Black Male Achievement Advisory Council. If we could just go around the table and announce who's present for the record, please. And I think if we could, I don't know if we have the ability to, but Reggie Moore said that he may be available via phone. I don't know, did he leave a phone number for you?
I didn't set it up.
Didn't set it up? We don't have it set up. All right. Well, he did have a number of questions that he did email to me. So as we go through the agenda, I'll be sure to bring those up. But let's start with Lee. Yeah, we're just doing an introduction around the table for so that everybody knows who's here.
Lee Cundy, Nonprofit Center, Milwaukee.
Michael Murphy, President of Milwaukee County Council.
Morning, I'm Jim Santon, U.S. Attorney in Eastern Wisconsin.
Clifton Crump, Member as Liaison Officer.
Tom Beard, Mayor.
Ashanti Hamilton, Alderman, Chairman of the Committee. I'm sorry, we'll go over here.
Rob Cherry, Community Ethics.
Good morning, Darrell Davidson, City. Good morning,
all right, let the record reflect that we do have a quorum. Before we jump into the approval of the minutes, I wanted to give President Murphy an opportunity to make an announcement about the event that is happening in his district this evening.
Thank you, President Hamilton and Vice Chair. I just want to announce that this evening at 4:30 to 8 p.m., the main program will start at 6, is a job fair that I'm hosting in relationship to the Resolution Preference Program with Carly to the Northwestern Mutual Life Project. So we got some good publicity last night, and I anticipate a large crowd. Alvin Hamilton will be joining me this evening at the program. I want to thank him for his leadership on this issue, and of course the mayor. We hope to have a large crowd, but for people that may not know, I think most people know, it's a $455 million development, of which the City of Milwaukee is contributing $55 million. And we have a strong component of residents' preference that is associated with the project, up to 40%. So over the next 5 years, there should be a lot of construction jobs. Quite honestly, and speaking with all the trade industries, it's a big step. There's a great vacuum development of a number of trade representatives who have informed me that their members are simply getting old. So the average age for a carpenter, I believe, is now 48. And as you know, working in the trades can be very difficult on your body, so a lot of people retire fairly early. But one of the crises in the area, I believe, is that there's still very few people that are entering the trades, people of color. At one point when I attended Custer program, Custer High School, in the 70s, they had, as part of the Chapter 220 program, when I was a junior, I at one point thought maybe I'd be a sheet metal or a steam fitter. And at that time, MPS did a very admirable job of having a lot of these programs. And I remember my class was over half African American. And unfortunately, that's not a common situation anymore. And quite honestly, these jobs pay very well. If anybody's ever hired a plumber at their house, know what I'm talking about. And the reality is you start at a pretty decent salary, $35,000, going up to over $100,000. And whatever we can do to try and get more people of color to consider trades as an industry, I think is really incumbent upon us. And I want to thank once again the leadership of the mayor and Alderman Hamilton for working very tirelessly on the project. So we expect a pretty big crowd tonight.
Yeah, you've done an excellent job of promoting the event. I think a lot of people are aware of the program this evening, and I think it's important to do that kind of work so that people actually know what's happening. You know, bridging this gap is not an easy thing, but the way that you've handled this one, I think is noteworthy.
Well, so thank you. That's very kind of you to say. I do want to say Clifton Crump is my appointee. Clifton to the Black Male Achievement Committee, very well informed of the activities that this could be along with you, obviously. But thank you for the work you're doing on this. I think it's critical for our future of our city and the mayor. And whatever I can offer in terms of the position I hold, I'll be happy to help out in any way I can. I'm working with Dr. McManus right now. She worked very hard with me on the Opiate Heroin Summit, so I'm running to another meeting on that.
Okay.
But we'll be hosting an event in a not too distant future, an educational event on that issue in the community. So just so you know.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President. All right, I'll entertain a motion for the approval of the previous minutes. Joanna sent those out with the agenda notices. Were there any corrections to the minutes?
I'd move approval.
All right, hearing motion by Mayor Barrett to move approval. Is there a second?
Second.
All right. Seconded by Jim Centel.
Mm-hmm.
And hearing no objection, so ordered. Let's lead into item number three, the National League of Cities recap. I think we had a wonderful visit. They're already on their way back for the for the men's and men and boys of color week. So some of them are already on their way back. Wanted to kind of get some feedback from folks who attended some of the things about how you felt about the visit. You know, some of the feedback that they gave during their presentation. This was one of the issues that I think Reggie Moore wanted us to have more of a conversation as opposed to just a recap. So I wanted to get some feedback from folks about the visit, some highlights. I mean, and I'll open this up to folks in the audience too that participated. Anybody?
Well, I thought it was a great visit. I think they had an appreciation for what we're trying to do here and could see that there's a lot of people that are rowing in the same direction. So that I liked a lot. I think it was a little humbling for them to say that we needed a little better vision. I think we're gonna address that in the vision statement later in the morning. Mm-hmm. But overall, I thought it was a very productive meeting. And I spent a lot of time over at the foundation when they were there. And I thought they were, again, engaged and impressed.
Yeah. They really liked our, hey, we got a seat for you right here. Let the record reflect that David Crowley joined us from Senator Nakia Harris's office. Okay, we'll talk about the positives first, right? So they gave us high marks. They gave us high marks on our workforce development strategy and also the connections that we were making with our workforce development, the way that we were using our foreclosures with tying it into employment opportunities for black males. Right? That was the most comprehensive piece of the work that we've been doing that they saw. So those, a lot of our site visits were built around that. They were impressed with what the health department was doing and how intricate that was in the communities in certain areas. Some of the studies that we had that we shared with them when we were at the Kenan Health Center, they were impressed with. I think being able to focus some of our efforts was one of the suggestions during that visit. They were impressed with our, you know, they didn't actually visit some of the education stuff that we did, but the presentation, the fact that we were able to get over a hump in most other cities with being able to have a program that was designed to target African American males without necessarily having the specific requirement within the structure of the program. So in order for us to continue using federal resources, in order to do it, it was race neutral, but still targeted a demographic that was a huge step that I think a lot of other cities have not been able to get over. We have been, and so they were interested in expanding on that model, that Be the Change, Saving Our Sons kind of model, and how that too tied into our workforce development strategy. So that was good. Criticisms though that they gave was on some level we haven't been able to use a real targeted strategy geographically, which is something that we'll probably we'll address later on today. We did not have a planned out public safety approach. I think David, we talked about this on the bus with Leon and and Marcus.
Yep.
And Mark Philpott, about being able to actually have a conversation around public safety that didn't necessarily lean toward just law enforcement. And I think a lot of our approaches have been that way. And most times, our response to high crime areas has been increased police activity that increases negative interaction with a lot of black males with police officers. We kind of force that interaction. And so we need to have some different types of strategies of being able to go into communities and deal with public safety in a different way that's engaging, that's preventative, that's and have an intervention strategy that caters towards that's not one-sided. I called it on the bus that we tend to make a heavy-handed, cold-hearted approach to dealing with black males when it comes to public safety. Were there any other comments around that?
I would just follow up on the mayor's comment too. I'm also humbled by the assessment that we need more articulated vision. On the other hand, at the risk of minimizing that observation, and I took away from that also that you're doing things, we're active, there are things in place, and that perhaps the vision shouldn't necessarily follow those, but that and certainly it's important for the future to have that articulated vision out there. But I think involved in activities where we get the vision statement out there, we get the broad ambits, and there's not a lot of activity following.
Right.
You may have been doing the bottom up,
right.
Which again I take as a criticism, but not a profound one.
Right.
And when it comes to the public safety issue, I also agree that obviously on the law enforcement side, it's a natural go-to whenever there's a problem. And one of the other things I think I took away was just as both Mr. Chair and the Mayor have said, and we need to involve the business community a bit more in identifying what that public safety sector could be. Obviously, education, healthcare, family services, social service providers. But it struck me, and I've forgotten exactly what the conversation was, but we had some brief conversation about involving the business community a bit more in ensuring that the public safety component is there. As mayors often said, the business community benefits from the fact they've got a safe environment in which business can work and thrive. They should also contribute to make that better. And so that was one of the takeaways that I got from that criticism about the appropriate criticism about the public safety sector as well.
Okay. And you know, a lot of our public safety work, I don't think we have had the conversation about because of your representation on the committee. A lot of stuff that we would typically have to argue and fight for or convince folks of, you're really coming to the table already understanding that and pushing for some alternatives. So that's been extremely helpful. Any others? All right, we'll open up to Commissioner. Yeah, come on up. Okay.
I wanted to comment that actually about 2 weeks before Alderman Hines resigned, he and I had a pretty in-depth conversation around what I raised to him that I've raised before, is the fact that of a city of this size, to not have a health either subcommittee or committee as part of the Common Council is very odd. Mm-hmm. And then it does do exactly what you're talking about, is that when you, because of public safety, people want to be on public safety committee, want to be on it because they want to deal with police and firemen, and that's where the mentality is, rather than understanding the public health and other issues around that, and that can deal with some of the other issues that happen within the community. So I would open that up at least to think about that in the conversation, whether it's a standing committee or even a subcommittee, you know, to look at health issues and public health issues. Many of the things we talk about in this community, whether it's violence, whether it's public safety, whether it's other things that get tied in, because even if you look at even with the Dontrell Hamilton piece, I'm on the executive committee of the NAACP, and we had our meeting Saturday. And part of that conversation was that I posed to them that we need to talk to the business community, because I think sometimes police think they're doing a great job because their job is to make sure business feels safe. But then what happened in this case is a Starbucks who said, one employee who said, this person there is causing a problem, although he was doing was sleeping. that I think it can cause some negativity even around the business community with the larger community if it's understood that that's not what they mean.
Right.
You know, so to have that kind of conversation, I think to look at it broader clearly has to be beyond that. But I certainly would encourage some type of separate conversation, whether it's this committee or it's the larger part of the Common Council and the mayor, to look at, well, too, at how do we talk about health in this context that's broader than just the public safety view of where things are, because people in our community don't feel real safe when the police is around, only realized.
Right.
It's a real, you know, it's conflicting, because you want to call the police, but then you're worried about being attacked when you call the police. I've seen that happen where somebody will call the police and the police will spend their time interrogating that person instead of dealing with the issue is. And so that says that there's a real disconnect between that. And I just think that certainly black males, mm-hmm. and I always tell everybody, just because I wear my hair this way, I've been stopped about a female driving around with the hair being cut like a male. I've been stopped more than a few times mm-hmm. by police who come up to the window and they go, well, it's nice that they recognize and they see me that I'm not a male. But it does say that, you know, that still you got this profile, how folks are treated. This isn't just in somebody's figures. And I think that it gives, and I've worked with enough policemen who know that everybody is not like that, but there is a question that comes up in terms of what people choose to do. So I would really encourage more emphasis on looking at health issues within the Common Council.
Right. Including mental health issues, right?
Especially.
Along those lines, if I can follow up, I had a group of mental health representatives in my office Thursday talking about just the delivery of services. And I think it would be beneficial for us maybe at the next meeting to ask them to come and just discuss this with us so that the frustrations, and quite honestly, they were using the Hamilton case and what happened there leading up to those events, which a lot of it was news to me, but the attempts that the family was making to have treatment and what happened to them.
All right, so we'll definitely make a note of that. And try something. Anything else to add, Rob?
What I took away from the meeting was to know your number. When they asked us to actually look at what goals we want to set, know what number of people or that we will affect by that number. And actually, if we set a goal of, say, we wanted to see violence drop by 10%,
right.
You know, what is the number that we have to reach to do
where
that?
We have to
or infant mortality or any public health issue. Know your number and know what the outcome of reaching that number will be.
Okay.
So I think that's important.
Perfect. Know your number.
And for me, putting together a strategic plan and implementation plan means nothing unless you have the actual population involved in dealing with. So if you're talking about young African-American males, somewhere within the design of all of that, young African-American males should be creating that with you.
Right. Yeah, include the community that you're talking about, right?
Yes.
We're not talking about lab rats here. Anything else? Wanted to add? Yeah, come on up, because this was a site visit right here. That
we was. Real happy with it. My name is Ezra White. I'm the founder and director of the OMS program. It's One Hope Made Strong. I was basically impressed with them, with their concerns, and able to see some of the kind of things that are happening all across the country when it comes to young black males and some females where they don't have the actual tools to work with. Well, with the OMS program, having been a person from the skilled trade area, a 32-year electrician and a 25-year teacher in the school system in that concentrated area of industrial education, I was able to put together something that is just totally phenomenal, and they were so receptive by it. One of the things I was able to gather from them is some of the things that they were saying that we should improve on, and that is that connection where we have a collective group of people from this city willing to execute the very nucleus of the problem. in the very nucleus of that problem, we're going to know that it's going to be employment. In order, when a person is unemployed, you have to have the kind of tools to work with so you can become employed. One of the things that they was happy about, one of the several things they was happy about with the OMS program is I was able to reach every age from 18, I told my care figures from 18 to 90. If they had a desire to want to learn these skilled trade areas better than an average entry, I was more than willing to present them with them. So when we took advantage of being over at Barack Obama School of Technology, I was very happy with that setting, and so was they. So we were able to reach a lot of people. The students that I have in that program,